Okay, good morning, B'shitz Rabbi Kron. So we are on the top of Nun Amid Aleph. So we had just been talking about a couple of stories that come from this, that came from Usha. That the two stories we talked about, first one had to do with whether one needed to support their daughters in addition to their sons. The second story had to do with where if someone, I'm not sure story is the right word, but just a situation where if someone wrote their assets away to their children, if they can still depend upon their children in order to support them, even though they've written off their assets. So now we're starting with another one, which is, it starts with Amar Rabbi Lai, it's the third line from the top. Amar Rabbi Lai, but Usha is Kino, they also establish in Usha, Mavazvez, someone who gives, likes to give a lot of tzedakah, Al Yavazvez Yoter Michomesh. He shouldn't give more than a fifth of his assets to Tztaka. Tani Nami Hachi, we also learned in the same Baraisa. Mavazvez Al Yavazvez Yoter Michomesh. He shouldn't give away more than a fifth. Shema Yitzarech Librios. Because if you give away too much of your assets, you're going to wind up needing to be supported by the community. Umase Be'echad Shabikin Shalvazvez Yoter Michomesh. And there was a situation where someone wanted to do this. He wanted to give away more than a fifth of his assets. His colleagues and his friends didn't let him do that. And who were the people that didn't let him do that? Rabbi Yesheva. Rabbi Yesheva was the one who stopped this person from giving away more than a fifth of his assets. For Amalei, and some say the way the story really happened is it was Rabbi Yesheva. He was the one who wanted to give away more than a fifth of his assets. And his friends didn't let him. Umanu, and who was that? Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was the one who didn't let him. I'm Rav Nachman. Vitei Rav Acha Bar Papa. They say, Mikra, how do we know? What pasuk gives us a support to know that you don't give away more than a fifth of your assets? Because it says, V'chol Asher Titen Li, whatever Hashem gives, Aser Aser Nelach, I'll give Meiser on Meiser to it. So he uses the double lashon of asert aasrena, like a tenth and a tenth that I will give to you. So therefore, you can learn from this aser aasrena that you know tenth and a tenth is a 20th, also known as a fifth. V'hag l'damya yisura basal yisura kame, but these tenths are not the same because if someone has 100 and they give away 10%, right now they have 90. The next 10% is only going to be 9. It's not going to be the same 10, right? So you start with 100, now you're down to 90. 10% of 90 is now, it's only 9. It's another 10. So Amar Ravashi, Ravashi answers, a'asrenu. Because it uses the word a'asrenu, the way it's worded, lebasar ki kama. The two tenths should be the same. So in other words, both the first tenth and the second tenth should be applied to the original gross and not to the net. So it should be 10% of 100 and then another 10% of 100. So therefore, you get to the same story of a fifth. Now, this is the third of three things so far that we've said about Usha. So Amar Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Ushmuos Halal, all these things that we heard about Usha, Mismamos V'Holchos, they're going down. In other words, if you recall the way they were worded, the first one had like several people that quoted it. The second one had fewer people that quoted it. And this one only had one person that quoted it. If you look at Rashi, Mismamos V'Halchos, it's like about a quarter of the way. Me'amoram Harishon, now the first one, the way it was quoted is Amar Rav Elai, Amar Rav Shlakish, Meshurim de Rabbi Yeshua ben Chanina. So it quotes three people. Hashniya, Rabbi Elai, Amar Reish Lakish. It quotes Rabbi Elai, the name of Reish Lakish, and the third one, it's only Rabbi Elai. So it basically is going, first one had three quoters, the second one had two quoters, and the third one had one quoter. V'simanach, and the simon that you have to remember these three things is Kitanim, Kasvu, Ubizvuzu. That the first one was about support of your children, whether they're boys or girls. Kasvu is when you wrote away your money. Ubizubu is what we talked about here, which is where you want to give away a lot of tzedakah. Okay, fine. Another thing from Usha. Amar Rav Yitzchak. But Usha is kinu. They also said in Usha, Sheyeh Adam Isgalgal Imbino Ashtem Esrei Shana, that someone should be gentle with their son until he's 12. So in other words, when he's teaching, wants to teach him Torah, he should do it in a gentle way until he's 12. Mikan ve'elach yored imo l'chayev. After that, he could drive him nuts. So not politically correct, but the way this will be explained is after that, he's going to have to basically beat him up to get him to learn Torah. Ani, is this really the case? V'ha amrle rav l'rav shmuel bar shilas. Batsir bibar shislas hikabel. So Rav Shmuel Bishilas was someone who was known as a noted educator of the time. So Batsir bibar shislas hikabel. He would say that a boy who's less than 6 years old, don't take them to be your student. Bar shis kabel. But once they're 6 years old, you could take them as a student. V'safile kasora. And you should stuff them like an ox with Torah. In other words, you should just no matter what they want to do, you kind of force feed them, as if you're force feeding an ox to fatten up an ox. You teach them Torah and you force feed them. So you might think, based upon this, that you can deal more harshly with a child who's older than six in terms of teaching him Torah. So the Gemara answers, Ein sfele kasora. Yes, you do stuff the child, you know, who's six or more than six, like an ox once they're 6 years old. But you don't make their life miserable until he's after 12. So you teach him a lot of stuff as if you're force feeding him once he's 6 years old, but you don't really come down on him and force him and whatever until he's greater than 12 years old. Or you could read it a different way. Once he's 6 years old, you start teaching him the Torah itself. Ha'agla Mishnah, but once they're 12 years old, that's when you start teaching them Mishnah, and that's when you can start, being more aggressive with them in terms of how you're teaching them. The Amar Abaye said, Amrali Aim, mother told me, and in this case his mother isn't his actual mother, but his nursemaid, because his mother had died when he was young. Bar Shis L'mikra, once a child is 6 years old, you teach them Chumash. Bar Eser L'mishnah, once they're 10 years old, you teach them Mishnah. Bar Tleisar L'tanisa Me'isleisa. Once a boy reaches his 13th year, meaning once he's 12 years old, then he's ready to fast on a Tanis for a full 24 hours. U'tinokes Bar Tracer. And when she's a girl, when she's in her 12th year, meaning when she's 11 years old, then she's able to fast for 24 hours. Okay, more things from Abaye. Amar Abaye, Amarli Aim, that my nurse taught me. Hi, Barshis de Tarkele Akraba. If you have a 6-year-old who was bitten by a scorpion, Biyome de Mishleim Shis, on the day that he finishes his 6th year of life, Lo Chaya, he will not live unless somehow you're able to cure him. Umai used to say, what is the potential cure if this kid is bitten by a scorpion? Marara de Daya Kivarte Beshechra. You take the bile of a white vulture and you mix it together with beer. Nafshe, and then you rub this on the child. Vinashke, and have drink some of it together. So you rub the bile on the child. You mix it with, you have the beer and the bile. You rub it on the child. You let the child drink the beer, and hopefully he's okay. Another thing. Hi, Bar Shata de Tarkli Zibura. A 1-year-old who's bitten by a bee. Biyoma de Mishlim Shata. Well, on the day that he finishes that first year of life, Lo Chaya, he won't live unless you do something about it. My, used to say, what is the remedy in that case? Asre the dick glove of my, you take date palm bast, which is some sort of, woody fiber that grows around the date tree. You mix it, b'maya, with water. Nafshe, you rub it on the child, Nashke, and give him some of it to drink. So, medicine at its best. Okay, now back to teaching Torah. Amarav Katina, Kol Hamachnis es Beno, Pachus Ben Shesh. Anyone who starts his child teaching him Torah before he's 6 years old, Ratzacharav Eino Magio. He won't be healthy, and therefore, no matter what he tries to do, he won't be able to take care of him. So it's kind of warning that it might be too much for the child. Ika de Amri, but some say it in a different way. Chaverav Ratzim Acharav. The other students will try to keep up with him, but they won't be able to keep up with him. So no, so one is basically saying that he's going to be so weak that he won't flourish in physically. And the other one is saying, other way of saying it is that, he'll do so well that no one will be able to keep up with him. Vitarveo Isno. Maybe they're both saying the same thing. Chalish vegaver. The child will be weak, but he'll know a lot of Torah. You buy your same, or you say it another way. Ha the chachish. First one, when you're talking about it, you have to know the nature of the child. If the child is not physically strong, then if you start teaching him Torah when he's too young, he won't be able to handle it. Ha devaria. But if you have a kid who's strong and healthy, that he'll be fine. You could start teaching him Torah earlier. Another thing from Usha, Amrav Yosei Bar Chanina, Usha is kinu. They taught Ha'isha shemachra b'nichsei milog b'chaye bala. So nichsei milog is where the woman brings property into the marriage, and they remain with her. She retains ownership of it. However, the husband is allowed to benefit from the produce. So let's say she had a field of trees that she brings into the marriage. All the fruits that grow during the marriage, the husband's allowed to benefit from, but she still retains the ownership of the property itself. So if the woman sells this nichsei milog while her husband is still alive, umesa, and she dies, habal motzi miyana lekochos. The husband is allowed to go and reclaim that property from the people that bought it. So in other words, it says if he retains some level of ownership and he's able to claim it back as belonging to him. Ashkechei Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Rav Yavo. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef once ran into Rav Yavo. Dehavei kai beuchasu deusha, and he was standing around the whole group of men in Usha. I guess they were, gathering because apparently they made a whole lot of decrees. Armalei, he asked, Man mara deshmata deusha, who knows this halacha or knows this edict the best? Who knows this thing about the malog property the best? Amalei Rav Yosi Bar Chanina. Rav Yosi Bar Chanina answered, Tana mine arbayin. Zimnin. I learned this 40 times so that I would not forget it. V'damilei k'man d'man chalei b'chisa. And it's to me, it's as if I have it in my pocket, meaning I've learned it many, many times and I know it super well. Now back to the concept of whether someone needs to support their own children. Ashrei shomrei mishpat osei staka b'chalei. So the pasuk in Tehillim says, Ashrei is the person who's Shomri Mishpat Osit Staka, who is a guardian of justice and does staka all the time, b'chol eis. V'chi efshar la'aso staka b'chol eis. Is it really possible to do tzedakah all the time, constantly? So what does that really mean? Darshu Rabbo Seinu Shavi Yavne, the Rabbanim in Yavne said, v'amilei Rabbi Yelezer, zeh hazan banav of nosav k'shen k'tanim. Going back to our original thing, this is where someone takes someone who gives sustenance to their children when they're young, which we learned earlier, isn't necessarily an obligation. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nechami Omer, he says it differently. This is someone who takes care of orphans, takes an orphan boy and an orphan girl and raises them in their house, and he marries them off. So the whole time he's doing staka for them the whole time. Continuing talking about staka, hon ve'osher ve'esav v'sikaso obedes la'ad. Wealth and riches are in his house, and charity endures forever. Rav Huda, Rav Chista, they each offered an explanation of what this means. Chad ober zeh halo betorah belamda. This refers to someone who learns Torah and teaches it. Chad ober zeh hakosev Torah neviyah b'ksuvim u'bashir la'acherim. This is someone who learns Tanakh and teaches it to other people. So in both cases, they are sharing what they have with other people. And one more pasuk, Urei vadu b'vanecha shalom Yisrael, that you should see your children bear children, and then there'll be peace onto Yisrael. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, kevad shebadu b'vanecha, once your children have children, shalom Yisrael, there'll be peace. Why? You don't have to worry the children don't have to worry about chalitza and yibum because they've had children. There's no concept that they'll have to be subject to chalitza or yibum. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachamni Omer, Kevan Shabanim Avanecha, once your children have children, Shalom al Dayanim Yisrael. There'll be peace for the Dayanim of Yisrael. Why? Delo asi le'inse, because there won't be any disagreement, any argument about who is the heir, who gets first dibs, who gets second dibs, because once you have the children, it's all laid out. So I think with this we'll stop, and we'll pick up Mirat Hashem tomorrow, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.